going? We are still looking at reproaches. Let's go see what God says in Jeremiah about these guys that say, "Thus saith the Lord." Jeremiah 23. Most of Jeremiah 23, from verse 9 to the end of the chapter, it's something that every one of these guys on television should read, because it's saying what the burden of the Lord is. What that means is just what the Lord wants you to do. And so, I don't know that we could start, someday you ought to read this, but we're going to start in verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way or repented them, and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit and of their own heart. Now, it goes on and on and on and on like this. But I just want you to, let's start in verse 39, just those last two verses. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you. It's talking about the prophets. And I will forsake you and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Now, I don't know why these idiots that say, "Thus saith the Lord," don't read this. When I used to hang out sometimes at Christ for the Nations, because of John Garlock was on our board of directors, and he was a dean of students then. And I couldn't go there, Frieda Lindsay was there, but I would go just sometimes to hang out with John and hear what some of these guys were saying. I mean, it was just about every other, every few minutes, he's saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And the funny part was, is they had these guys from all over different ministries. One day they would get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and a few days later, somebody would say the exact opposite, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, I don't ever ask you, how did the students respond to that kind of thing?
This student had no problem with it, but the other students went nuts.
They
just couldn't deal with it. It was pitiful, I have to say, because they really did preach completely different things, and
the right way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a lot of spiritual discomfort.
Spiritual what?
Discomfort.
Discomfort.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this thing about I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. But anyway, that's I just wanted you to. I was thinking about that when we were studying reproach. Let's go to.
Not to mention where in the law where it says that you have to stone a false prophet as well.
Yeah. All right, let's go to. Go to Hebrews 10. Start in verse let's start in verse 19. Hebrews is this chapter is the one that talks about by one offering you've been perfected forever, them that are sanctified. And it's not by one offering you've perfected forever everyone that names the name of Christ. You have been perfected forever by one offer to them that are sanctified. And that's the kicker. But anyway.
Is that 10:19 you're holding?
No, that was just 10. I was talked about. I was, that was what earlier. It's, verse 14 is the one that we just mentioned. But start in 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now, there's a lot of interesting things here, but it's through the veil, which is his flesh, but it's the word for flesh isn't it's living flesh. But to get to the Holy of Holies, we pass through that veil. And the only way that we pass through that veil is by his flesh, his life, because we're dead. And so therein is where the mercy seat is, after we pass through that veil. We're seated on the mercy seat with no more interest in anything of our flesh. Anything about us is gone. And that's where we're seated with him in that heavenly place. Amen?
Amen.
Gary, you're musing.
Well, I mean, that place is real amazing. Because there's no work to do, it's rest, it's peace. It's,
amen. All right.
But that's a place of prayer, too.
Yeah, but that high, remember the this whole thing, the Holy of Holies, is because the temple, the New Jerusalem, came down. And we are, everyone in the universe is passing, everything in the universe is passing through that temple. And everything that didn't come from God, everything that didn't originate, that's why born again means from the first estate. Everything that didn't come from there passes through and goes into the Valley of Hinnom. So everything, all of our past and all of our future goes through that, but it doesn't stay. The only thing that stays is Christ in us, the only hope of glory. And everything else goes into the dump. And so that's essentially what sanctified, the end result of sanctified is. So there's no more you. It's all gone. And that's then he has this, he in you as this one of the cells of, and this is why, excuse me, but this is why cloning things was so interesting. You can take the cell of any part of your body, whether it's a fingernail cell or any other cell, and by cloning, create a duplicate of you. But this, in this case, it's my sister, my spouse. So every cell that has been perfected by being tested in every way with his test, that's what it means to continue with him in his test. Every cell is what constitutes and makes up the bride. And that's why there is a loss of our identity. You know, the whole idea, people say they've gone to heaven and they see, you know, they talk to Jesus and they see their little doggy or they see their what? You can't retain self-consciousness if that's what the fall is. It has to go. And there's a whole new thing. Now we are the body of Christ, the bride, and members in particular. Amen? All right. And in verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love, unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in the which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. Now, this is the reproaches. After you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. This is what it means to bear his reproach outside the camp. Amen. This is why you have to be the same person wherever you are. You don't change personalities by the group you're with. You don't change your manner of life by whichever group. You always are the same. Otherwise, you know, then you just be, you've heard me talk before, but this is, it's just crazy. Before I, the year before I, my conversion, I was either chairman or president of 11 different organizations. And I was a different person in each one of them. Now
that's confusing.
That got tiresome. But it finally just produced boredom. Which is, that was God's way of this conversion experience was boredom. Now, but can you see if you are a hypocrite if you change your being, if you act differently with your family than you do with your work, or if you do here, or that you do when you go to a party, whatever. And you always have this bubbling forth. It's always prophesying. It's always saying. A prophecy it no longer is telling the future. You're no longer foretelling. You're forthtelling. But it has to be everywhere in all things. So that you're the same wherever you are.
What is the distinction between fore and forth? I kind of know
what?
That. What is the difference between fore and forth telling?
Foretelling and forth telling.
Yes.
Foretelling is telling the future.
I know that.
Forth telling is just saying what's there always.
I didn't know what forth. I wasn't sure what forth telling.
Forth telling is the revelation of Christ. Amen. All right. So, again, it's just this emphasis on bearing his reproach outside the camp. You were illumined, and then you were made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions. All right. Let's go to... Let's go to 1 Peter, and then we'll quit. We looked at this one, but this is a good one to quit. This bearing his reproach outside the camp thing. We'll quit on this one. Starting verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened. Now, this fiery trial is this.
I'm sorry, where are we? 1 Peter, which?
1 Peter 4, starting verse 12. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. But if you be reproached, now the word if there is that word eis, and it means either if or it's a conditional or more often, it should be translated in view of the fact. So here it would be in view of the fact that you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. You can't possibly not be reproached for the name of Christ if you are living that life. All right. In view of the fact you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is able spoken of, but in your part, he is glorified. Now, do you understand that? On their part, from their perspective, he is evil spoken of.
It's like a cloud that in Egypt, that the Egyptians on one side, it was darkness and death, and the other side it was light. And
right.
To the Israelites.
Now, you see the same thing, but it's like, it's like on one side you call evil good and good evil. One side, if a baby dies, it's evil. On the other side, if the baby dies, it's glory. On one side, someone that was incapacitated as Shannon is evil, it's bad. On the other side, it's perfection. I mean, we could go on and on. I mean, but the idea that, and it's talking about believers, that believers call evil good and good evil.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's their judgment.
And we do the same.
Yeah.
When we are going through something that is odious to us, we call it evil.
Well, that's all about what you say about seeing at something or seeing through something.
Amen. All right? So, I mean, basically, then we could go on and on. But the whole idea is I can't emphasize it enough that you are fed in the camp, but you bear his reproach outside the camp. Now, sometimes you'll bear it inside because everybody will think you're an idiot or something, but that's the ticket. And this is what this body is lacking in. This is what this we as a people are lacking in, is bearing his reproach outside the camp. Because you are not publicly identified with the doctrine. In your world, you have chosen not to speak of it. Not to speak of the emptiness and futility of human life. And of all the dreams and hopes and ambitions. It is crazy. And so I pray that we'll take the lid off on the entire community. All right. Now again, and the other part of this is he never hurried through where he was criticized, he never stayed because it was treated well. I mean, it was he didn't make judgments after the census. He didn't act as a brute beast. Only the disciple is not above his master. Our only aim is to do the will of God, the Father. Do the will of the Father. It's not to save people. It's not to be useful. It's not to be blessed people. People will be saved. People will be blessed. Sometimes will be considered useful. But most will show gross ingratitude and even hatred. But nothing must deflect us from going up to Jerusalem. Nothing must deflect us from being no longer a citizen of this world. We are in it, but not of it. There's nothing in the world that we give importance to. Amen?
Amen.
All right, take it, big guy.
Okay.